faith here. And then I want you to reevaluate it at the end, and I want you to ask yourself this question. How's your faith? So let's keep going through this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now look at this. This is cool. Underline this word. Evidence. Okay? Now you got the two words, substance and evidence, and we're talking about something you can't see. Yet it says that our faith is actually the evidence of these things that I believe in. It is a very powerful thing, and you do not get it on your own. That comes from God. He opens our eyes, but it's up to us to exercise that. Many, many times Jesus would say, oh, ye of little faith. It wasn't God that was lacking. It was their ability to see it. That's what was lacking. And what faith does is it pulls back the blinds. And the more that you do that, the more that you've got to realize this is powerful, then you got to look in our life and say, look, if I actually believe this stuff, then this would equal this. Remember when they were talking about the rapture happening and they said, how come this hasn't happened? And it says God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And he goes later on and he says, but these things shall come to pass. And it talks about the end of the world. And then a little bit further in that chapter, it says this, because this is going to happen, it says this, what manner of person ought we to be because this is going to happen? What he's saying is this, if you believe these things, that ought to be an evidence in your life that they're real. All right, let's go on to the next verse. It says this, through faith. So now there's something, this thing that's abstract that you can't hold on to has become substance, has become evidence, and now it's a vehicle. Look at here, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, the trees, the mountains, the rocks, the oceans, us, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And what ignites that is faith. So God stepped out and said, let there be light, and there was light. The reason why it means something to you is because you believe it. So much so that it becomes tangible for you to hold on to. And I can't, my faith cannot be your faith cannot be my faith. But that's saying, through faith we understand. It's more like this. Do you know what makes the seraphims fly? It's your faith. Around the throne of God, those beasts, eyes all over the wings, crying, holy, holy, holy. It's either just a story, or they're doing it right now, and you can hear them as they brush up against each other. You can hear their wings. And God's sitting on a throne, and a crystal river flowing out of it, in a city with 12 foundations. And that's your home. And what makes that real for us is your faith. Why we believe that God created all we have, Pastor, all we have, other than looking at the trees. There's other people that look at the trees and come to other conclusions. Do you realize that all we have about that, other than the actual thing itself, is the fact that Genesis chapter 1 told me that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and I, by faith, believe that. So when I walk outside, this is my Father's world. because of faith. Okay? Let's keep going, and this is just a little bit more. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. So here, you had Cain and Abel, and at some time, these boys were given some instructions. This is what you need to do. One of them listened to the instructions, acknowledged that it came from God. Then then was obedient based on the fact that he believed God when God said, this is what I want you to do. And when you do this, this is what's going to happen. This young man over here, by faith, embraced that. And what makes us be obedient to what God says in the world is because you believe and trust what is or is not going to happen based upon what you do or do not do. Does that make sense? Okay, why are you here this morning? Well, because you believe that God said not to forsake the sibling of yourselves together. And so by faith, if that's coming from the creator of the universe, we would be absolutely crazy to just turn and say, forget that. So the reason why it's real to some people is because you honestly believe you're doing this to honor and glorify God, and the other people are just doing it because just to do it. Faith makes the difference. And Abel, by faith, said, I'm going to obey God. You know, salvation is so simple. It was God's plan to save the world through Jesus. No, it doesn't make any sense to take his son and let him die for me. But he said that if I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'll be saved. Amen. And may I tell you something? Amen. That's what I'm holding on to. Amen. I'm holding on to it because that's what it says. Yes, right. And I believe that he said that. So that's my hope. Is in the fact that God said that, and I believe that God's going to keep his word. And so Abel believed that. Cain didn't. Cain came to his own conclusions about what he thought God should be and acted on that. All right, so let's go a little bit further. Okay, it says this here. It says, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Now listen to this. This is important, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and look at this, and that he is, underline that word, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you believe God, you believe the Bible, give me an amen if you do. Do you understand what that just said? That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what happens to those who don't diligently seek him? No reward. Okay? If you believe that, why in the world would you not diligently seek him? If you honestly believe, guys, if you honestly believe that God is going to reward you, if you diligently seek him, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what road they're going down. But do you honestly believe what he wrote on that page when he said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? If you believe that, then you're going to stay on the right road, because to do anything else would be self-punishment. Why would you do that? Why in the world would we go anything opposite? If we believe all of this stuff, why would we? He's on our side. He's saying, Dave, I'm trying to help you. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. I want to use you. But if you believe, then you got to understand that I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Pastor, did you find that verse for me? Could you read it nice and loud for me? Do you believe that? I'm going to say this. Probably not. And let me tell you why. How many of you can say this morning that you went all last week without sinning? Can you do that? I can't do that. And if you raise your hand, then you got problems with lying. Okay? So let's think about that verse. Okay? That verse says, temptation comes our way. First off, I want you to understand something. You're not alone. It's common to man. So if it affects pastor, it affects me. Okay? So it's common to man that these temptations come. But then that verse says that he, with the temptation, will make a way for us to what? That means you don't have to do it. So I want you to picture, you ever seen in an old movie, somebody's running down a road or an alleyway, and they're being chased, and they're looking someplace to hide, and they grab a door here, and they grab a door there, and all of a sudden, a door opens up, and here's this little old lady, and she goes like this, and they duck in, the door closes, and the enemy runs by, and that's what God said. Hey, Dave, every time temptation comes, and you're presented with right or wrong, that I have made a way for you to escape. So that means when I choose to give into my flesh, I ignored the door. So you know what faith does? Here's what faith does. Faith begins to make this door real. And it puts a doorknob on it. And if you can just see it, you'll use it. So tomorrow, whether it's your temper, your pride, your anger, lust, whatever, and we're presented with right or wrong, I want you to understand if that verse is real, there's a door there. Do you know why we don't use it? Can't see it. And only your faith's going to make it real. But could you imagine what that would do to us? Guys, could you imagine what that would do if you could just see that door? It's always been there. And when we don't use it, it's not God's fault. It's because we can't see it. But there's always a way, or that lies. Because he said, I will make a way for you to escape it. And any time I've had to bend my knee at an altar and be brokenhearted because I gave into my flesh, I have to understand God's looking there and saying, Dave, I held the door open for you, buddy. All I had to do was get in here. Now you understand faith is changing a little bit. It's not just about God taking care of you. It's at the core of who you are. And without it, man, we stumble bad. So let's keep going. It says verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. Now that's important because God's telling him this is going to happen and he didn't understand it. He couldn't grasp the end of the world. He couldn't grasp this massive flood. He couldn't grasp destruction. But let me show you about his faith. How do you know he had faith, Pastor? How do you know that Noah had faith? There was an ark in his yard. That's why. Can't deny that. The man had faith. Look at what it says. It says this, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet moved with fear. Okay, so I tell you a story. And I say, this is going to happen. The only way you would move with urgency and fear is if you what? Believed it. And the reason why Noah went out to a forest and started cutting trees and working way into the evening for over 100 years is because that man, every morning, was scared to death that his family would end up dying in this flood. And every day he went out there, and what he was doing was because he believed what God said. Do you understand? God said that one day he's coming back. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. One of my favorite parts, he says that where I am, he wants us to be. Isn't that cool? He's coming back. Okay, I just told you something that God said he's going to do. He is going to come back. And we don't know when. So how do I know whether or not you believe that? Show me your ark. No, I'm serious. Okay? If you believe that, there's going to be an ark. There's going to be an evidence of you moving with fear, understanding today can be our last day. We know it, but do we believe it? If you believe it, you go home and you live differently. There's no other choice. The moment he got that news, Pastor, did his life change? Did he do things different after he learned of the worldwide flood? Yes. Why? He believed it. Guys, we're going home. We're going to stand in front of God, give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether good or bad. And teenagers always ask me this when I was pastor. Is God really going to tell everybody everything I did? I said, you know what? That's above my pay grade. Okay? I can just tell you this. I can't do anything about yesterday, but if you're concerned about it, do something about today. So at least there's a graph. Really bad and then a little good. All right? If you're worried about it, then be careful tomorrow. Don't add any more to it. You know, say, whoo, that's really bad. It's going to get uncomfortable. Praise God, it's going to get a little better. All right? Because that's what, that if you believe, think about that. If you believe that you're going to stand in front of God and give an account of the deeds done in your body, whether good or bad, and you honestly believe that, things change. Yes, sir. As you begin to think, ooh, I can't do anything about yesterday. If I can do something about today, I can start putting an ark in my yard. And somebody can say, man, look at you. And you say, yeah, I know. But then one day I decided to really wrap my mind around that, let that sink in, and do something inside of me. And from that day, understand this. Dude, this is an awesome concept. Because of faith, from this day forward, it can be different. And that's awesome. And that's what faith is. So let's end it with this. So you got Jesus on the cross. We visited that a little bit this morning. And Pastor, I was preaching this one day, and right in the middle of it, the Lord said, Dave, I want you to do something. I want you to take a chair. I want you to sit down in this crucifixion scene. I just want you to spend a little time looking around. So you got a thief on this side and you got a thief on this side, and Jesus is in the middle. He's beaten so bad you can't tell who he was. Went over that in Sunday school. Can you picture his eyes being swollen shut? If I hit you in the face over and over and over again. By the way, we look at that thinking God's saving the world. They were not saving the world. They were executing a criminal. There was nothing good about that day for them. So when they hit him, they were hitting him. It wasn't just, well, we got to do this because we know you got to save the world. No. When they put that crown on his head and it poked through, you could see the thorns coming through his eyebrows. Blood's just streaming down. Lips are swollen. Face a mess. And guys, he's just trying to breathe. His back's all messed up. Stomach's open. This guy's over here yelling and screaming. And then this thief over here says to his friend, leave him alone. He's innocent. Number one thing that you got to do in order to get to heaven is realize that God Almighty and his son was sinless. And then he said this, we deserve this. We're guilty. And then, Pastor, he did something that when I started looking at it, changed my faith. He turned and looked at Jesus and said this, today when you enter your kingdom. But, Pastor, do you know what he was looking at? He was looking at a man that couldn't move. A man that was in worse shape than he was. A man that was getting ready to die. Pastor, can you see that thief looking over at Jesus, turning his head a little bit and saying, wait a minute. Pass all the blood and pass all the pain. He's still in there and I see a king. Yes, sir. Because that thief turned around And if he could have, went like this, saying, help me. Jesus is just a mess. And that guy looked at him and said, help me. When you enter your kingdom, see what happened, Pastor? His faith took back the blood. It took away the crown of thorns. It put his body back together. And what that thief saw on that cross is he saw a king. And he said, when you enter your kingdom, would you remember me? Do you understand that the Jesus you trusted when you got saved was cleaned up, resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father? What if I presented to you that one? And Pastor, I said, he's going to help you. Could you still see him? And that's faith. So let me ask you this question. I'm going to pray and turn over to Pastor. So at the beginning, this is maybe where you thought your faith was. And then after you begin to work through it a little bit, is it still in the same spot? And let me tell you, sort of like this morning's, God knows that we have problems. He understands that. He knows that we're broken. That's why he gave us a Bible. That's why he gave us faith. And may I tell you something? He wants to help you. Your marriage is a little rocky. He's there. Kids need some help. He's there. You're going through it personally. He cares. Sin is just beating you up. It's got a door. You just need to see it. And that, if applied in our hearts, will change every last one of us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I mean, the concept of missing that ark, that's a scary deal. You can get in, and I can't make you see it. He's trying. He's speaking to your heart. You need to listen to him. Can you see a Christ on the cross that wants to save you? Who gladly paid for your sins because he loves you. And wants to be a part of your life. If you'll come to him. And you can do that this morning when Pastor comes. And Christians, we've got to go out there. And every time I preach this, I get in my car and I say, well, Dave, went down that road again, but what's going to be different for you today? Because if you don't make any changes after going through that message, you're in trouble. Because I want you to see it. And I want to help you. Let's pray. I'll turn it over to Pastor. Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for helping us understand a little bit more by putting some words in there for us to think about. Words like substance and evidence. And then Lord, just drawing a very real picture of what that looks like. And Lord, I pray that you would help our faith. And Lord, in times you hear people talk about increasing it, Lord, we know that it's a gift from you. Lord, you've already given us the things in which to believe in. But Father, we lose sight of that. Just like you've already told us that door of escape is always there every time we sin. But then why do we sin? Why do we run past the door? It's because we can't see it. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning in our faith, that you would give us hope. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior this morning, I pray that they would do what Abel did and by faith put their trust in you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.